vacation up in Nova Scotia, I believe, and enjoying his family up there, I imagine. Our scripture this morning is found in the third epistle of John. It's only one chapter, so you can't get too lost there. Verses 1 to 8. Third epistle of John, verses 1 to 8. The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, that they may work together for the truth. This is God's word. Praise be to him. Several months ago, Pastor Carol and I were invited to go to a church in our association that we serve on a regular basis, the York Baptist Association, which is the southernmost association here in Maine. We're association resource ministers, and there are 13 churches, and we try to help them out. It was a really a surprise, however, that when we came to this particular church, we hadn't told them we were coming ahead of time, although we come on a regular basis. The pastor was away, and a layperson led the service, which was fine, but there was a screen up front and not much else. We wondered what was going on. It was a little bit unusual. Instead of a sermon, a DVD was shown, and it talked about the magnitude of God's creation. Now, at first it was a turnoff to us. You know, wait a minute, no one's going to preach a sermon? It's going to be a DVD? What's going on here? But the subject was about the magnitude of God's creation. The speaker on the DVD told of universes and galaxies far away from ours, hundreds of light years away, he said. Now, I looked up and found out how far away a light year was. 5.88 trillion miles is a light year. I guess I had heard something like that back when in school. Almost 6 trillion miles away is a distance is a light year. And he talked about the creation going hundreds of light years, being hundreds of light years. Can you get the picture? It caused me to think deeply about the one who created all of this. How small our knowledge is. So I started to ask myself some questions about the greatest. Who is the greatest person? Surely the greatest person is God Almighty. Who in the world could ever, how could this all just happen? It's no contest. God is the greatest. God is the creator, the coordinator, the sustainer, the redeemer, the provider, the guide, the friend. The one who is close by. Certainly, as I used to pray when I was a child, God is great, God is good. And we thank him for this food. Does that happen in some of your homes? God is great. He is good, and we thank him for so many things. We ought to, anyway. God's greatness is truly beyond our comprehension. It says in Psalms that we quoted it this morning, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I thought about that a little bit more as the snow came down this winter. And I read that no two snowflakes are the same. God, what a great God you are. We had a lot of snowflakes, didn't we? And God created it all. Surely, as we sang this morning, how great thou art. How great thou art. So we stand in awe in God's presence. Who is the greatest person? God himself. Then I started to ask some more questions about things. Okay, there are some other great things in Scripture that we find out. And I asked this question, what is the greatest commandment? And I looked in Matthew chapter 22 and began with verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So we have this great God that's far beyond our imagination, our comprehension. And he calls us to love him with all that we have. That's the greatest commandment. God loves us beyond measure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gives us the gift of salvation. Is there anything greater than that? And it's the greatest commandment to love him in response to that. God deserves and desires our complete love in all areas of our lives. In the churches that I've served over the years, it's been my custom to invite people, having the print in the bulletin as you do, if they would like to come forward at the closing hymn of the service, profess faith in Christ, or ask for prayer, or rededicate their lives. And we had a group of folks that were mentally challenged and had some needs. And I shall never forget Dawn, who would often come forward. I would say, Dawn, is there something you want to say? Is there something you want to tell me? And he would just say this, I love God. Brings emotion to my heart right now just to think of Dawn. I love God. Oh, that we might say that in our lives, in our words, in our deeds. That's the greatest commandment. Well, let's keep going. Let's ask a couple of more questions. What is the greatest commission? What is the greatest thing that God is asking us to do? And I thought of the Great Commission, so-called, that Jesus gave his disciples. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Our greatest commission is to make disciples, to win people to Christ, to follow Jesus with us. Speaking to the fishermen, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And disciples bring, some of us love to fish, don't we? Fishers of human beings, bringing them to Jesus. I thought of a song I used to sing in Vacation Bible School. Some of you may remember this one. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Isn't it interesting, the songs that you learn when you're growing up stick with you, and they mean a lot? Well, that's our greatest commission, to bring others to Jesus. Jesus commissions us to be an inviting people. When people come to worship with us, that we greet them and welcome them, make them feel at home. Yes, that's our calling. A couple of more greatest, okay? A couple of more that I thought of. What's the greatest attitude that somebody can have? Well, I had to think a little bit about this, but then it came to me in 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6, Paul says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." That seems, you know, as we plant our gardens and so on, that's pretty obvious. "Each man, each person, should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." God loves a cheerful giver. The greatest attitude in life is to be a cheerful giver. Now, the Greek word that's translated cheerful here literally means hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Now, sometimes when I give, I'm not giving too hilariously. I don't know about you. Oh, I suppose this is a worthy cause. I ought to do it and all that. And there the church is asking for more money for its needs and so on. And you're not grudgingly but giving, but you can be more cheerful. You can be hilarious. Oh, boy! A chance to give to God's work. Think about that. Have you... Some of our black brothers and sisters, bless their hearts, in the churches have the habit, if they take an offering and somebody counts it, I guess, fairly quickly or gives it an estimate and said, not enough, and they take another offering and they come front to the front of the sanctuary to do that. That's kind of in the hilarious mode, isn't it, huh? Think of it. God loves a hilarious giver. Paul encourages us to cheerfully give of ourselves, including our finances. Recently, some studies have shown that we in the state of Maine, when responding to how important is religion in your life, are next to last of all the states in the country. And a more recent study has shown that the percentage of income people give to charity, we in Maine, guess what? Are next to last. You get the correlation? If God is important in your life, then you're not as charitable. Apparently, I mean, that's what the statistics show. And unfortunately, we're not the best to showing there. As according to the Apostle Paul, Jesus said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul quoting Jesus. Well, my last greatest joy, pardon me, I gave the clue away. Yes, what is the greatest joy? What is the greatest joy? Well, let me give you a negative. Remember Jonah in the Old Testament going to Nineveh, a sinful, sinful city? And Jonah didn't want to go. He took a voyage and was caught up and all that, and a lot of details there. He didn't want to go, but finally he determined he would, and God called him. And Nineveh repented. And Jonah was sad. He was angry because he thought that they ought to get it. They ought to pay their dues. They ought to be punished for what they did and so on. Well, but they repented. Why in the world didn't Jonah rejoice in that? Contrast Jonah with the old apostle John, some 90 years old at this time. And he writes, as we read in the scripture, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." He's talking about not just his biological children. We don't know about his family life. He's talking about those whom he has touched through ministry one way or another down through the years. He's an old man now. As he looks back on his life, what touched his heart the most? Knowing that people he had somehow influenced had taken hold, believed in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, that's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I'm getting up there a little bit in years myself, been ordained 53 years. And I have to say the same thing. There's no greater joy than to hear that someone who's, maybe inadvertently, somebody whose life you've touched is going God's way, walking in the truth. The greatest joy is in seeing or hearing that someone you may have influenced in some small way, perhaps, is walking in the truth, doing the right thing, following the Lord. Over my pastoral ministry for some 20 years in the church in Pennsylvania, 10 people came forward to go into the gospel ministry, some as lay people, sometimes as pastors. My wife Carol is one of them, incidentally. She was ordained at the age of 66. Yeah. And how she uses her gifts is touches my heart. My own son has now sensed a call to ministry. He's a director of food service in a high school in New Hampshire. And I could go on. Somebody was ordained just a few months ago that was in our church, and we got the word, and so we sent a letter along. No greater joy. No greater joy. Oh. I could go on that. Often we don't realize the influence and the difference we can make in someone's life. It may be just a small thing, maybe something we've forgotten. When we were saying goodbye to our church that we served for 20 years in Pennsylvania, people would come up to us and say, I'll never forget when you did this and so, when you said this and so. And I had forgotten, you know? But you're trying to do what God wants you to do, and somehow the seed is sown, and praise God's name, he is blessed. A few years ago, we sent our alma mater at Gordon College in Wenham, Massachusetts. And we like to send them a check every year. And so we sent the check this year, and we got the receipt back. There was a little note in there. It said, "Hi, Coach." Carol coached girls softball and basketball in Georgetown, Massachusetts for 5 years. And this gal was now working in the office at Gordon College. And she wasn't a Christian when we knew her. She came from a troubled home, and we had concerns about Anne and so on. And she's retired now for a Christian school. And we made contact with her. And she said, I always knew there was something different about you two. And now I know what it is. She had come to Christ. See? So I thought to myself, oh my, there were sometimes I was assistant coach. There were sometimes I argued with the referees, you know, and wasn't too generous as far as they were concerned. But somehow she saw something in our lives. She knew it was different, and she had come to Christ, and her life was changed. No greater joy. No greater joy. Well, that's the greatest, my list of the greatest. Who's the greatest person? God himself. What is the greatest commandment? To love God with all of our being. What is the greatest commission? To bring others into the fold, to make disciples with God's help, to follow. What's the greatest attitude? To give time, substance, whatever, hilariously, cheerfully, whatever. What's the greatest joy? By the grace of God, to see some lives touched, some lives changed, people brought to Christ and following him. Or may it be so in our lives that we will enjoy only these blessings, the blessings that the greatest one could ever give to us, our Lord and our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the greatest. Beyond words, beyond our wildest imaginations, our deepest thoughts, you are there. We fall down and we worship you and we say, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings our soul, O Lord, how great thou art. Heavenly Father, may we remember these things. May we apply them to our lives as they are needed. And may we follow you, which is the greatest thing we could ever do. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I invite you to join with me in singing the hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee.